name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Please be seated.
I like Jacob. Jacob, the man from our Old Testament story this morning, I like him a lot. Jacob, he was born to Isaac and Rebekah late in life, along with his older twin brother Esau. They fought so hard in the womb, so much that Rebekah prayed, asked God, "What on earth is going on?" Lord gives her a personal message. They will always fight. Esau, he just barely edged Jacob out. The scriptures record Jacob holding on to Esau's ankle as they made their way into the world. Jacob, he would scheme and trick his dad Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing, the inheritance long promised to his older brother. I like this guy. He's aggressive. Jacob doesn't stop there. When he goes off to find a wife and to avoid a very angry Esau, Jacob cuts a deal with his soon-to-be father-in-law. He says, "I got a deal for you. I'll tend all your sheep. And as pay, when this is all over, I get to keep the spotted and the striped ones." His father-in-law says, "Great." And then Jacob goes on to engage in a little selective breeding to make sure there are plenty of striped and spotted sheep around. This guy's smart. Jacob, he's such a huge success that when he heads back to his homeland, he sends off a chunk of his wealth to pacify his brother Esau, who's after years built quite an army against him. But Esau takes one look at this chunk of Jacob's wealth, and he says, "This guy's pretty good at this." They have an emotional reunion. Esau receives this portion of Jacob's wealth, still finding himself richer than he'd ever thought he'd be. So this guy's aggressive. He's smart. He's cunning. He tends to win. Even Jacob's progeny is impressive. You may have heard of his 12 sons. They founded the 12 tribes of Israel. One of his younger sons, Joseph, his brothers leave him for dead in a ditch, but Jacob's son, Joseph, he gets out of this ditch, rises to be the second only to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. Even Jacob's progeny is impressive. One more thing. Jacob's a fighter. Jacob doesn't take anything from anybody, including God. That's where we encounter Jacob in this morning's story. Like I said, I like Jacob, and I think that I like him even better for his fight with God. This story is terrific because it shows somebody finally taking the big guy on. No more this cold war between my prayers and his prophets. No, Jacob gets God down on the ground and they go at it. But their fight, of course, isn't just about Jacob. Their fight shows us something fundamental about God. That God is always at the same time for us and against us. God is at the same time for us and against us. The "for us" part is easy enough for us to handle. We see the cross, we hear and sing of God's love, we get that God is for us. The idea that God is against us, though, that's a little bit harder. When Jacob encounters God and starts a fight, we ask, why is it that God fights back so hard? What's this fight all about? God, he's completely holy, perfect, without blemish. He's 100% pure. Think about what that means. If you're like me, you've never seen anything 100% pure. We don't want to talk about the water that comes out of the tap, but let's just say it's not 100%. The stuff in the bottles, it's a little closer, but it's still not there. The gold in Fort Knox, it only is 90% gold. The salt on your table, you get the idea. Oh, Tegan. How does God stay 100% and undefiled? The same way anything that 100% is 100% pure stays that way. Something impure can never contaminate it. Something 100% pure is aggressively contagious as it pushes harder and harder to purify everything else. That's why God is not only always for us, but stands against us. He stands against our impurities, that is to say our sins, because he deeply desires full intimacy with us. He wants to have a full and complete relationship with us, and he can never be intimate with us, for his purity would overcome us. But back to Jacob. He doesn't take this aggression very well. He fights back. We get the idea that he knew a confrontation was coming. Because Jacob, he sends his family and all of his goods ahead across the river. And then did you catch that? He goes back to the other side of the river. He's like, I've got something to deal with back here. And there, all night long, back and forth, up and down, Jacob fights God. The first bout, it seems just to be taking minutes. But then minutes turn to hours. Hours stretch through the long, dark part of the night. Dawn begins to break. And all the time, Jacob and God, back and forth. As the first light comes across the horizon, God wants to go. He's done with this battle. But Jacob, always the aggressor, he's not going to let God out of a fight without getting what he came for. He demands of God, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Like I said, I really like this guy. Jacob has the gall to demand a blessing out of God. But Jacob's demand isn't really about gall. It's a turn for Jacob. Jacob, somewhere in the midst of their wrestling, Jacob has realized he doesn't want to fight God anymore. Rather than defeating God, Jacob has realized that he wants God's blessing. He wants to share in God's life and joy, not fight with him. Jacob realizes he is fighting God when he ought to be joining his will with God's. The question for you and me, I guess, is pretty obvious this morning. Where are we wrestling with God? And what's it going to take for us to stop? To stop and to unite our will with his. Where are we in a fight with God? And what is going to happen for us to stop fighting and realize we want to join forces with our opponent, not stand apart any longer? Jacob was an aggressive, smart, cunning man, but Jacob didn't submit to anyone, including God. Rather, Jacob battled God, culminating in this all-night wrestling match. But eventually he recognized God is always for us as he is against us. This morning we baptized Cole. We start Cole on this journey. Journey where God is committing himself and Cole back to God this morning. That Cole and God. God is going to always be for Cole, but against him as well. As he grows, and God hopes and prays and joins with us in working for Cole to grow into the mature, the full stature of the man he's built to be. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.